Primary season is almost upon us. Early ballots will be mailed out early next month, but not all registered voters will have a say. Only Republicans and Democrats can vote in Arizona's closed primary system, which leaves about a third of the state's electorate out who are registered as independents. Technically, an independent can request a GOP or Democratic ballot, but very few do. Efforts to open the state's primaries have failed thus far, but some are still trying. And with us to talk about it all is Dylan Rosenblatt, who wrote about independents and primaries for the Arizona Mirror. Good morning, Dylan.
Hi, Lauren.
All right, so I want to start with some of the details, some of the numbers you got here on how many independents and sort of otherwise non-party related voters vote in primaries. They can, as we said, request a ballot, but the numbers say they generally don't?
Yeah, so about a third of Arizonans who are registered to vote are not registered with a political party. So that is Republicans, Democrats, and also of the few who are registered as Libertarians. Mm-hmm. It's an ever-growing number, so more people are leaving the Republican and Democratic parties to become independent. But when it comes time to vote in August primaries, they don't take that extra hurdle of selecting a ballot. And I think in Maricopa County alone, it was about 7%. Wow. Of independents ended up voting in the 2020 primary.
Wow. So some people who you talk to in this piece say we shouldn't do it this way. We should have an open primary like many other places do it. How exactly would that work, Dylan?
So just look to the city of Phoenix, for example. City of Phoenix, although they are nonpartisan as other municipality elections are, they do a open election situation where you have everybody who wants to run for, say, the mayor of Phoenix. You have Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians, whatever. They're all on the same ballot together. Everybody who lives in the city of Phoenix can vote on all of them. If nobody gets a majority, so 50% plus one vote, then they go to a runoff election, and then the top two candidates would proceed to that runoff, and then the winner of those two would end up winning that race. That's what some of these proposals that we're going to be seeing that we've seen about a decade ago, that's the easiest one to explain. There's mm-hmm. a couple of other options to get into, but that's the easiest one to explain.
Dylan, I don't want to interrupt the momentum you and Lauren have on this. I'm going to throw in a dose of skepticism, though. I'm someone, you know, as journalists, most of us, or at least I am one who's registered as independent, and I can request a ballot. Now, indeed, that still gives the parties the advantage, but does any of this rest with voters being, frankly, kind of lazy? Because it's doable.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely say that as a counter argument. But I mean, these are the people, the independents, you know, you, myself included, who the general election is all meant to appeal to. Let's play to the independents. We need to go to the moderate voter because they're the ones who determine the general election. So if they're the ones determining the general election, why aren't they the ones who are being appealed to for the primary system? That's what these proponents are trying to say for this open primary. Mm-hmm. These voters are considered the most important, yet they're the ones who are being thought of last when it comes to who's actually going to be on the ballot come November.
Well, let's talk about the results of the way these primaries work and who ends up on the ballot. Like, we've seen the parties respectively become more extreme, I think, on both sides in recent years all over the country. Are we seeing that, you think, because of the way we conduct primaries? Like, if we had an open primary, would we continue to see candidates who are on the far left or the far right be elected?
I mean, I would say, and based on the people that I've talked to, that early on, if there was a open primary system, we would still see that. It's about how long things take. You know, change doesn't happen overnight is something that everybody says. So, yes, the parties are becoming more extreme on the left and extreme on the right. And when things are dictated by the political party themselves, those are the ones who are being elected in the primary system that we currently have. But, you know, an open primary system, you're opening it up for people who aren't registered with a political party to actually have a standing chance to get elected. I don't know the last time that somebody who was an independent in Arizona held a public office. There's been attempts, but, you know, the weight is stacked against them. You have to collect signatures. It's like 6,000 to 7,000 for Republicans and Democrats who want to run for governor. It's 40,000 if you're an independent that you have to collect. So it's nearly impossible for them to get on the ballot. If you open up the primary system, eventually, you know, years down the line, you're going to start seeing a much more moderate electorate where everybody's vote actually matters.
And in the last 30 seconds or so here, Dylan, this isn't the first time this has been brought up. What have previous attempts looked like to open up our primaries here?
So the one attempt that actually made it to the ballot was in 2012. It's run by former City of Phoenix Mayor Phil Johnson, who's or Paul Johnson, who's doing the same thing again this time, maybe mm-hmm. in 2024. They ran out of money through court challenges and could not, do enough voter engagement when it actually got onto the ballot in 2012 and ended up losing by a 2-1 margin.
All right. The Arizona Mirror's Dylan Rosenblatt joining us. Dylan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Lauren.